I'm going to read one scripture, and that's pretty much all I'm going to get into today. Psalm chapter 77, verse 19. Psalm chapter 77, verse 19. Says your road, talking about the Lord, says your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there. A pathway no one knew was there. Turn to your neighbor and say, he knows a path. Turn to somebody else and say, he knows a path. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. I thank you for this word right now. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for this time that we have together in your presence, in your house, God, whether physically in this building or online. God, we are together, united under one banner. That is you, Jesus. And Father, I ask you right now to speak to us today through your word in a very real, powerful, and supernatural way. In Jesus' name. Put your hand on your belly right now, everybody. If you're at home, do it too. Right here in the building, put your hand on your belly and repeat this after me. Say, Jesus. Come on, everybody, say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. That's my own prayer that I made up that I've been praying for 15 years before I preach, and I think I just messed that up. Sorry if I messed some of you guys up, but I probably messed my wife up because she likes to repeat it ahead of me because she knows where I'm going. So what do you think about that? The other day, my wife and I went on a little date night up to Richmond, Indiana. We never go to Richmond. I don't know why. We just I've always gone to Cincinnati, Coleraine, Harrison, or wherever. If I can help it, I don't ever leave Brookville. But if I do have to leave Brookville, it's usually the direction we go. But for whatever reason, we had some gift cards, and we went up to eat a nice dinner up at, I don't know, someplace in Richmond. I can't remember. Anyway, it was before they had 101 open back up, and they had everything closed off still. And so they had that. Here was the really annoying part about that closure. I mean, maybe it was there at the beginning. I don't know. But there were no real detour signs. It was just like road closed, figure it out. Anybody notice that about this time? Hey, Indiana DOT, if you're listening, maybe put a detour sign around. So here's what happened. So we were driving up. I was like, oh, crap, I forgot that road was closed. And she was like, Luann was like, do you know how to get there, go around? I'm like, oh, yeah, I got this, no problem. So I turned one direction, and then I was on some back county road and turned another direction. And I was like, oh, we're good. We're just going to keep making left turns because I turned right to go off of one. I thought, well, if I just keep making left turns, eventually I'll hit 101 again, right? And honestly, I have no idea what happened. At one point, we were driving through the country. It was getting dark. We started our journey at 2:30 in the afternoon. The sun was coming down. We still hadn't eaten dinner yet. It was getting dark, and it wasn't quite that extreme. I'm exaggerating a little bit, as I tend to do. But there was a point. I don't know. I really don't know what happened. I do know at one point I was at the corner of County Road 400 and County Road 400, which I assume is like some kind of country road nexus black hole, because we drove through that intersection. All of a sudden, I looked around, and we were in Oxford, Ohio. We were in West College Corner, and I was like, wait, I don't have any idea. I was like, I knew I was going to go through Liberty at some point, but somehow we got, so I stopped, got directions, got back on the right path, anyway, we finally made it to Richmond, and we went back through that corner. How can you be at the corner of the same road? That doesn't make any. How can one road intersect itself? I don't know, but I just assume it was a black hole, man. I don't have any idea how that happened. Anyway, and the point of me sharing that is this. Thankfully, this text that we just read says that God knows a path. Justin doesn't know a path. You understand what I'm saying? Because if Justin is the one that has to know the path, I'm just telling you, we're all in trouble. But thankfully, God is able to know a path that no one else can know. Amen, somebody? Turn to somebody else and say, he knows a path. Now, the author of this psalm is this guy named Asaph. We don't know a lot about Asaph. He was probably a singer or a leader of the singing and songwriting during the time of David, when David had what was known as the Tent of David. I'm not going to get into all of that in the Old Testament, but he wrote a lot of the psalms. There's about 15 psalms in this little section of the book of Psalms that are attributed to Asaph. And Asaph, at the beginning of Psalm 77, he's talking about the anguish of his soul. And he's talking about how he's even questioning. He's saying, God, are you ever going to get me through this season? God, God, are you ever going to get me through this? God, are you ever going to show up? Where is your love? Where is your presence? Where are all these things? And then all of a sudden, Asaph begins to remember, and he begins to remember the story of the Old Testament and the story of what God did for the people of Israel and the Israelites at the Red Sea. And if you don't know the story, I'll give you a real brief intro to that, a little brief Sunday school lesson here for you. But if you don't know that story, back in the day, the Israelites were slaves in bondage to Egypt. And after a whole series of events and 10 plagues and all this, finally Pharaoh said, you can go. And when Pharaoh let Moses take the people of Israel out of Egypt, the Bible says the whole, there's about 1 million people that was part of that nation, begin to leave Egypt. And as they begin to leave Egypt and wander through the desert, the Bible says they got to the Red Sea. It was impassable. They basically came to a dead end. Let me know the story. And not only did they come to a dead end, but the Bible says they looked behind them, and the Bible says Pharaoh had a change of heart and began to chase them down with his army. So they had a dead end in front of them, the army of their enemy behind them, and they didn't know what was going to happen. And Asaph is remembering this story. Of course, if you know the story, the Bible says that Moses lifted up his staff over the Red Sea, and the Bible says the Red Sea, of course, parted right down the middle. And it says that an east wind blew one side and a west wind blew the other side, and there was a wall of water in the Israelites walked through the bottom of the Red Sea. And it didn't say they sludged through on in muddy, marshy. If you notice that text, it says in the Old Testament, they walked through on dry ground. Amen. And so Asaph, in the middle of his anguish, in the middle of a rough moment, in the middle of him questioning or wondering, he begins to remember what God has done for his people at the story of the Red Sea. And let me just say this right now. If you're wondering where God's presence is, if you've come into 2022 and you're like, man, where is God showing up? I really had high hopes, and just this first little couple weeks is just more of the same junk. Or maybe you've been in that season for a long time, or maybe even just today, or whatever. Listen, anytime you go through a season where you're wondering, God, how am I going to make it through today? Do you know what one of the greatest ways to encourage yourself in that moment is? It's by remembering what God did for you yesterday. One of the greatest tools I have to encourage myself that God will get me through what I'm going through today is to look back on my life and know that God brought me through yesterday. God has brought me through seasons like this before. God has healed my body before. God has worked it out in my family before. God has provided for me financially before. God has done it for me before. He will do it again. Amen, somebody? And so he's using what God did yesterday to encourage his today. And he's remembering this moment where the Israelites were following God. In fact, the Bible says that the Israelites at this time, this is the very beginning of their journey, but they're literally, in the Old Testament, it says they are being led literally by the glory and the presence of God, physically manifested in the form of a cloud and fire. They can literally see the presence of God and see where God is telling them to go. So they are following God. They are following Jesus. They are taking the right steps in their life. And all of a sudden, God leads them to a dead end, this Red Sea. Have you ever felt like you got to a place where there was just no more options, no more choices, no more turns to take? How many can relate to feel like there's a dead end in front of you and an enemy chasing behind you and you don't know what in the world to do and you even know that you got there? How many have ever gotten to a place like that knowing that you were following God and doing everything you knew that was right to do? Well, listen, if that's the case, I've got real good news for you today. And the next time you get into a dead end, I've got real good news for you this morning. Listen to me, son and daughter of God. Listen to me, family. Listen. Following Jesus never leads to a dead end, even if it looks like it. If I'm following Jesus, if I'm following the Lord, if I'm doing what God has told me to do, if I'm walking after and pursuing the things of God in my life, then that means that, listen, following Jesus never leads to a dead end. It might look like a dead end, but what Asaph remembers here is that even when you get to what looks like a dead end, there is a path somewhere in that moment that you don't know about and that you can't see. All I've got to know is the one I'm following knows the path. I'll just keep following him. Amen, somebody. Following Jesus never leads to a dead end, even when it looks like it. If the only option for me to run into a dead end is if somehow I missed a turn. Amen? If somewhere I got away from following him, if somewhere Justin decided, you know what, Justin knows best, Jesus, I'll take over from this point on, that can certainly lead me to a dead end. And then at that point, I need to turn around and go, okay, where did I lose it? Where did I miss it? Where did I miss the turn? And thankfully, if you're there, if that's where you are, if that's where you end up, thankfully, listen, I've missed more turns, both driving and in my spiritual life, than probably everybody in this room. You know what I can tell you? Assuredly, turn around and ask Jesus where he went. He'll always show up. He'll always say, I'm right over here. Come on, just get back on the path right now. Amen? But if I'm following Jesus, it never leads to a dead end. If it looks like a dead end, it's not a dead end. It's just a path that I cannot see. And I want you to listen to this when we talk about dead ends. Listen, don't miss this. Just because I get led, just because Jesus leads me to an irrational place, doesn't mean it's not God. Just because I find myself in a place that makes no sense at all, just because the path doesn't seem like it fits, checks any of my boxes or fits into anything of my life I thought it would look like or any of those things. Just because following Jesus will often lead me down some irrational roads. I've learned this. Following Jesus will often lead me down some places that if I were to add it up, if I were to do the math, if I were to plan it out, it makes no sense at all. But Jesus has a way of leading me through and down. In fact, in the King James translation of this exact same psalm, it says it this way. It says, his way, the King James says, thy way is through the sea. It says, thy path is in the great waters. I like the word picture the King James paints there a little better here than what I commonly read out of the New Living because that gives me the idea that God intentionally, specifically, is actually leading me through the ocean, leading me through the great waters. In fact, that word great waters in the Hebrew, that's translated to, it really paints a picture of roaring waves, not just big water, but turbulent water, hectic water, chaotic moments. But it says here, God's path actually leads right through there. Now, none of us in our right mind, if we were making a path to go somewhere, would probably say, hey, I want to go through the roughest part of the water. I want to go through the deepest part of the ocean. I want my path to go through the most chaotic, dramatic, crazy place ever. God, if you could just do that. No, nobody prays for that, looks for that. But listen, just because it doesn't make sense up here doesn't mean God's not leading you to it in your life. Just because God leads me to an irrational place that looks like a dead end. Listen, here's what you know. If it looks like a dead end and you're following Jesus, it's not a dead end. It's just a miracle waiting to show up. If it looks like a place that is irrational and doesn't make any sense and looks like you can't get through it, listen, it's not a dead end and it's not irrational. It's just a miracle waiting to manifest in your life. So what do I need to do? Guess what? I need to keep following Jesus anyway. Amen? When we get to a place that looks like a dead end, when I get to a place that's irrational, when I'm following Jesus and I see that he has went into the great waters, the chaotic rivers, the tumultuous streams, and it seems like he's beckoning me and calling me to follow him out there, at that moment, fear will often get a grip on our hearts. Fear will often get a grip on my heart. And what I will begin to do is I will begin to instantly look around and think, oh, I must have missed God somewhere. I need to turn around and go back. Or I need to find a way around, or I need to figure out a different path, because God, certainly you can't be leading me to this obstacle. God, certainly it's not your will, Jesus, for me to go through these rough waters. God, surely, I mean, the enemy's behind me, the dead ends. If we're not careful, fear can take over, and fear can then actually get me to get off and get away from where Jesus is actually leading me, or try to find my own way around. And as I've proven in my life just a few months ago, when Justin tries to find his own way around the detour, it always ends up badly. I always end up somewhere that I didn't want to go. Amen, somebody? So listen, so what do I got to do? Listen, fear might be telling you to turn around. What you've got to do is you've got to keep following anyway. Jesus may be leading you to a path that only he knows about and that you can't see. Don't let fear get you away from following Jesus. Keep following him anyway. Amen? No matter what that step looks like, no matter what that step looks, keep following anyway. Well, I can't see the path anymore. I can't see where I'm supposed to even put my foot down. Let me explain something to you real quick about how following Jesus works. Listen to me. Since when do you need to see in order to be led? Amen? I do not need to see where my feet are going all the time in order to be led by my shepherd, by my master, by the king, by Jesus. Amen? In fact, doesn't your Bible say that we are to walk by what? Faith and not by what? We are to walk by what? And not by what? That should tell you and I right there in the New Testament that there are certainly going to be times in our life, if I'm following Jesus, where I'm going to have to walk, I'm going to have to step without being able to see exactly the path or exactly where I'm going. But here's the good news. I don't have to see the path to follow Jesus. I just need to see him. I don't have to see where my feet are going in order to be led by the Lord, in order to follow Jesus. I just have to see where he is telling me to go next and go there and do that. Amen, somebody? So if you are in some cloudy moments, if you are looking at what looks like a dead end, if you're looking at a time in your life and a season, you're like, man, the road has just been covered over. I can't see where I'm supposed to go. I can't know where I'm supposed to. Listen, let me just give you this word of advice. Advice is the wrong word. Maybe just consider this. Maybe consider that you need to stop looking for the path and just start looking for him. And wherever you see him, go there. because he knows a path that no one knew was there. Amen. The Red Sea story. It's an awesome story about showing of the miracle-working power of God and just the brute force and strength of our Creator God, especially when compared to the enemy that might be pursuing us. But man, it is also such an encouraging story because it tells me that he knows a path that's there even though no one else can see it. And it lets me know that I don't have to see the path, I just have to see him. Turn to your neighbor and say, you just have to see him. Now, the reason that we often can't see the path is probably not the reason that we think it is. If you're like me, then you read this sometimes, and I tend to think through a lot of these stories or situations or reading the Word that, well, God is just, you know, God is trying to teach me something. God is trying to test me. You know, God, Jesus leads me to a path that I can't see because he wants to test my faith and see if I'm faithful and make sure that I'm a good soldier and all the, how many ever think about things like that? You know, God's just trying to teach you something, or God's just, and there are times definitely that God is trying to teach us something, but this is the reality, I think, is that God is always teaching me something, amen? Isaiah said that I wake up every day with ears to hear as one being taught. I mean, there's never a moment in my relationship and your relationship with Jesus Christ and with your Creator where the Creator doesn't have something to teach you. Amen, somebody? But the way, I don't believe it's like this, like God is not playing games. God is not trying to, like, you know, put you in these situations to test you. Listen, the reason that I can't see the path is because the path that God has planned out for you and me is so vast and so big and so intimately and intricately woven together that we couldn't see it on our best day if we tried. That even if, the path that God lays out for our lives and the path that God often leads us down and leads us through, listen, it's so detailed and so beyond what we can really probably comprehend and understand that even if God told you the path, we wouldn't be able to really see it anyway. We would be like, no, you're not going to do that. No, it's not going to. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, who could have imagined if Moses was telling the people of Israel, hey, this is how we're going to get to the promised land, no one would have drawn the directions to go through the Red Sea. No one could even fathom that. No one's even thinking about that. You would have either said, okay, we're going to go to the Red Sea. We're going to camp out there for about 5 years. It's going to take us 5 years. I mean, it took us a while. We learned some good building skills when we built those pyramids and everything in Egypt. That was great. Now we're going to have to learn. We're going to have to switch from building pyramids. We're going to learn to build some ships. We're going to build a bunch of boats. We're going to build a bunch of ships. We're going to sail. Or we would have said, we're going to go all the way around. Who would have thought or imagined that God had a path through the water for you? It would have never even come into your mind. Amen, somebody? Who would have imagined the path if you trace the lineage of Jesus? And you can do this in the Gospels. And you'll see that in the lineage of Jesus, you have this lady named Rahab. Who would have imagined in Rahab's life in the book of Joshua when the 12 spies went to take the first city of Jericho and the first house they came to was a prostitute by the name of Rahab and she hid the Israelite spies so they could get everything figured out. Who would have imagined that Rahab, that prostitute from a foreign land, would have eventually, her family line would be intertwined with the family that eventually would birth the Savior? Who could have imagined the path that we would have gotten to even get Jesus from Rahab to Jesse to David, the littlest and the smallest and the youngest and the weakest and the runt of his father's litter? But David was a man after God's own heart who God was going to birth the king of all the universe through Jesus. Who could have imagined the path that led to salvation would lead through a virgin girl named Mary into a town called Bethlehem, a small little barely blip on a dot of a map that probably wasn't even marked on the map anywhere? Who could have seen that path? Amen. I couldn't have seen the path. I think about this all the time, Mom and Dad. I don't know if you remember. We moved here in like 90, what, 4 or 5? 5? From Vincennes, Indiana. I had a bunch of friends, a bunch of the wrong friends, but a bunch of friends. I was partying. I was doing drugs. I was getting wild. At way too young of an age. And I'm not saying that to glorify any of that. But I remember when my dad and mom told me that we were moving to Brookville, Indiana. I was like, where? Not that Vincennes was this great metropolitan of society or anything, but it was what I knew. It's where all my friends were. Amen? It's where all the guys I knew where to get weed from were. Coincidentally, people smoked weed here too, so... Thanks. I'm going to get to that in a second. I know you're like, what? But I remember sitting there. I was so angry and mad. And I was, what, eighth grade, going into ninth grade. I still remember this day being so mad that we were moving. And I don't know if it was you, if it was somebody else. I don't know if it was one of you guys or it was another friend of mine. But I just remember it was either you guys or another friend of your guys that said to us, I remember these words, said, you're going to see one day that this move is going to set up the rest of your life. Or something like, it was like, this is going to be a big, do you guys remember that conversation? I couldn't see it then. Because we moved here and I've found a group of partiers and got right back into the same old habits. But then a year or so later, we start going to a church, or actually right away we moved to, we start going to a church where I would meet who would eventually become my wife at 15. God wasn't really in the picture yet, but we met each other. Amen? year or so, a couple years go by, I don't know, 2-3 years later, we start attending a new church, a brand new church in Harrison, Ohio, called Church on Fire, that many of you have heard of now today, where I would eventually give my life to the Lord, feel called to ministry, be released into youth ministry, and did youth ministry for a while, went to Bible college. And then certainly I could have never imagined years ago when I was such an angry kid, I could never have seen the path that would have led from that move to what would eventually, I mean, and then years go by on fire for God, do ministry, preaching, youth ministry. All of a sudden, one day we're coming home to visit family for a holiday, and all of a sudden this vision for Redemption Life Church and to plant a church in Brookville, Indiana just drops into my spirit. Listen, I could never have seen that path. Even if God had set me down and said, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, I would have said, you are out of your mind. None of that is going to happen. I can never have seen the path that God had laid out. It's not that God was purposely trying to hide it or playing some kind of weird game or testing you by his faith. It's this. It's that my ignorant primate monkey brain could not even start to imagine or process the path that God has laid out for our lives. Amen? Let me say it this way. I know that was mean. That was harsh. Let me say it this way. This is nicer. The path laid out by an infinite God is hard to see through finite eyes. The path that he knows is there, that he's put in front of us, that he's leading you and I down in our lives, It is too great. It is too big. It is too inconceivable for our finite minds, my sinful man, human desires, all of that mixed in. I cannot see the path that only he knows is there. That's why I've got to, so what do I need? I need to stop worrying about seeing the path, and I just need to start seeing him. Amen? I need to stop worrying so much when it looks like there's a dead end. Because if I have followed him to that dead end, that just means there's another path there that I can't see. Amen? And it's often those hidden paths. It's often those paths that you didn't see coming. It's often those steps you take into a dead end that just required all of the faith that you could muster at the moment to even take that one frightful step following Jesus. It is often those paths you can't see that lead to the greatest blessings and the greatest revelations and the greatest moves of God in your life. Amen, somebody. If we're going to clap, let's clap. Come on. If we're going to be thankful for that, let's be thankful for that. So what are we going to do? We're going to listen. Here's what I want to encourage us to do right now. I want you to step with faith into that dead end. Step with faith into that dead end. Step with faith into what may be hidden, what may seem unknown, but you can step in faith knowing that there's a path that only he knows is there. That's where I'm putting my foot down. Amen, somebody. Stand all over this place this morning. You know, we talk about surrender. We talk about just let go and let God. I'll be honest. I'm not sure I really know what that means all the time. It's just one of those things that would probably hurt. I mean, I haven't, you know what I mean? But like, you think about, like, what is that? If you really like, what does that mean? You know what I think a lot of it means when we talk about surrender? We talk about let go and let God. We talk about, you know, giving it up to the Lord or whatever you want to say. You know what a lot of, I think if we really wanted to define that, what it would mean this. It means me saying, God, I don't have to know the way. Amen. God, I don't have to see the road. I don't have to see the path. God, you don't have to tell me the way. You can let this thing look covered up and look like a dead end as much as you want. If that's where you are, if you're in the water, I'm going to step in the water and trust that you know a path that's there that I don't know anything about. Now listen, I can't help you. I can't help you see or know the way. I can't help you know the way maker. I can't tell you where the way is, but I can tell you where to find the one who does. Amen? And that, my friend, is in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And in fact, today, if that's not a step you've made in your life, in this moment right now, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, that is the first step. That is the first step of faith that you need to take right now. If you're home right now, listen, this is for you too. If you are at home somewhere, maybe you're watching, maybe you're listening in the background and you're catching this in the peripheral somewhere because someone else is tuned in. This might be your moment right now. If you do not know Jesus, if you're in this place today and you do not know Jesus, then the first step to take is a step of faith, accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And you know what? You can do that right now today. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if that's where you are today. And I cannot encourage you enough. And right now, even now, the challenge begins to come to your mind and your heart. And most of those are probably thoughts from the enemy, because the enemy wants to keep you bound. The enemy wants to keep you afraid. The enemy wants to keep you right where you are, does not want you to take a step of faith towards Jesus Christ today. So all these thoughts will begin to come into our minds. Some of it's just natural fear. It's not all the devil. Some of it's just our natural fears. Well, I've got this issue, and I've got that issue, and I've got this thing, and I've got this thing. Let me tell you something, friend. You are standing in a room. You are tuning in right now with a whole bunch of people that have issues. Amen? Saved and on my way to heaven, thankfully. Thank you, Jesus. But I still got some issues. Amen? Thankfully, His grace is sufficient. His grace is more than all that I could ever need or ask or anything else. Amen, somebody? So listen, don't think for a second that you're not good enough, that you're not holy enough, that you're not righteous enough. Listen, if in your heart of hearts you know that that's the step you need to take, you need to begin a relationship with Jesus, maybe you need to restart a relationship with Jesus. Listen, don't for a second hesitate. This is for you. Say, now, I'm going to do this as quickly as I can, but as concisely as I can. I'm going to make this as simple as possible. If you want to dive deep, there's a video resource right in the middle of our webpage on RayLifeChurch.com that'll answer a lot of questions. You can go there anytime, but I'm going to give it to you as simple as I can right now. Listen, how do you start a relationship with Jesus? How do I restart a relationship with Jesus? It's ABC. A, the first thing I would do is I've got to accept that I am a sinner and that I need Jesus in my life. That's what I need to accept, okay? I need to accept that. Listen, I need to accept what the Bible says, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's every person that has ever taken breath on this earth. And there's no two ways around it. I've just got to accept that. I am a sinner who needs a Savior, okay? One preacher said it like this: we are not mistakers who need erasers, we are sinners who need Saviors, amen? I don't need a do-over, I don't need an eraser, I didn't make mistakes. I sinned and I need someone to save me. That's A, accept that. B, believe. Believe that Jesus is the Savior that you need. Now, I can believe that. Why? Because that's exactly who Jesus said that He was. Let me explain something to you, friend. Jesus was not a good person. Jesus was not a good prophet. Jesus was not a good teacher. I mean, He was those things, but He wasn't only those things. Because if you take the Savior and the Messiah part away from Jesus, then guess what? He ceases to become a good teacher and a good person. Because good people don't go around telling people that they are the Savior of the world. That's what crazy people do. Amen? Imagine if I walked around going, I'm the Savior, I'm the Savior, I'm the Savior, I'm the Messiah. Everyone follow me, I'm the King of the world. You wouldn't be going around going, he's a real good guy. I just don't know about that king. No, you'd be saying, that dude's out of his mind. But we do this to Jesus. We say, well, I believe Jesus was a prophet. I believe Jesus was a good teacher. I believe Jesus was a great guy. Well, if I believe those things, I've got to also believe that He is the Savior of the world, because that's who He said He was. Amen? And I don't get to pick and choose. So A, accept that I'm a sinner who needs a Savior. B, believe that Jesus is that Savior. And then C, confess what I have accepted and what I believe with in my heart, with my mouth. Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, so shall you be saved. See, well, I can just pray quietly in my head. Well, I mean, you can. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? And this is what I can tell you on a step further from my own anecdotal evidence and notice of doing this and seeing this work in my own life and seeing this work in the lives of others for many, many years now in my life. Listen, when I open up my mouth and when the words that I say are spoken into the atmosphere, spoken over my life, in agreement with what I know and feel and believe in my heart, it seems to just bring the universe, it brings heaven and earth together. It cement, when I speak out what God, when I publicly confess and profess what God is doing inwardly in my spirit and in my heart, it cements that moment and brings that moment together. Amen, somebody? With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're going to have an opportunity to A, B, C this morning. Right now, just close your eyes, bow your heads. Listen, I'm not going to call you up front. I'm not going to embarrass you. I am going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. If that's the step you need to take today, you say, preacher, man, this is why I'm here today. This is what brought me here today. I didn't even know this was going to happen, but I know that I need to get my life right with God. I know that I need to begin or restart my relationship with Christ. I've never had one, or I've walked away. Wherever you are, that's fine. God is saying, welcome home. Come back right now. If that's where you are, right now, if that's where you are, every head bowed, every eye closed, forget about who's around you. Don't miss your opportunity, your moment. Don't miss your opportunity, your moment right now because of anybody around you or any other thing. But if that's where you are, say, man, I want to make that step. I need to confess that. I need to take those ABC steps today. Will you just raise your hand right now all over this room? Raise your hand right now. Amen. Amen. I see a couple hands up. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're at home and online, this is hitting you right now, you can put that raised hand emoji in the comments or just type in there, say, hey, I'm praying. Listen, whether you raise your hand in here or online today, I want you today, we're going to pray, and we can pray together right here in this building. You can sign up online. We'll pray with you online through the comments. We'll be praying for you. But I want everyone, if you can, go to the website, redlifechurch.com, and in the ABC section, fill out that thing so we can get in touch with you and pray with you and just open up a dialogue and see what the next step is. Right now, I want everyone in this room, whether you raise your hand or not, I want you to pray this after me. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. Thank you for paying the price for my sins. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for living inside of me. I surrender my past, my future, and my right now to you in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Help me to follow Jesus from this moment on. With every fiber of my being. In Jesus' name. Amen. Holy Spirit, make this moment real for every hand that was raised, every prayer that was prayed. In faith, confessing and believing, God, let take place right now what your word was promised would happen in Romans chapter 8. Your word declared that the Holy Spirit would bear witness with our spirit that we have become children of God. And Lord, I pray right now for every person that needs to have that awareness, that needs to have that witness right now. Holy Spirit, I ask you to do that right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you right now that heaven is rejoicing and that heavenly, and that God, you have become our Father and we have become your sons and daughters in a very real and powerful way right now in Jesus' name. Come on, can we thank the Lord for doing that right now, church? Come on, can we rejoice? Rejoice with those that prayed that prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to a relationship with Jesus. How many got some dead ends you ready to step into and watch a path open up for you this week? Amen, somebody? Amen. Lift your hands, receive this blessing from the Lord. Let's worship for just a moment before we go. Father, I thank you that you know a path that we don't, God, and I declare right now from this moment forward, God, for some of us who may have been trembling, for some of us who may have been waiting for a path to open up, Lord, we are not going to wait for us to see a path. We are just going to go where we see you in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, that you fill each and every one of us, God, with the faith to take steps into our dead end, knowing that if we're following you, it's not a dead end. It is a miracle waiting to happen. It's a path that only you know is there, and we are going to follow you down that path in Jesus' name and watch miracles unfold and manifest in our lives. Receive this blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, and the Lord give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.